Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Tonight we're going to be talking with Sadiq Bakari from Coldwell Banker, who's going to give us a market report on Brooklyn real estate. Stay tuned for Bob.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
And once again, as always, here's Bob.
Including real estate, community politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And as Jason mentioned, tonight we have as our guest Sadiq Bakari. Sadiq is a licensed real estate salesperson in the Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn and has over the last couple of years distinguished himself as one of the highest producing salespeople in the Coldwell Banker system. So, and of course, we're going to pick Sadiq's brain, and we hope his crystal ball is working perfectly to tell us what the current and future outlook of the real estate market in the New York City area will be. Well, welcome to our show, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate that amazing introduction. I'm very happy to be on the show.
Well, you deserve it. You know, I was doing a little research, and all it, you know, my research came up. Top producer, 19, 20, 21, 22, so you must be doing something right. I also noticed that you are really a local boy. You went to Fort Hamilton High School.
Yes, I did.
Baruch College.
Yes,
and
that's
practicing your craft on 75th Street and 5th Avenue in Bay Ridge. So we do like local boys. We do like local
Thank
boys.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, Bay Ridge is a special place to be in.
Yes, it is. And half of us don't want to tell anybody, and the other half says we have to, you know, blow our horn to you know, let everybody know how great we are.
More and more people are starting to discover Bay Ridge.
It is a sort of a hidden treasure, and right, absolutely. We have a great location, great amenities, a great community,
great
food. Schools. Yes, great foods and everything. Yes. So yes. No, it is a great area. Well, we're going to pick your brain tonight, as we do often. We invite salespeople on to discuss what's going, what they're hearing in the street, because you have your ear, you know, to the ground. You're meeting with sellers and buyers. Everyone's asking you, the rates are going up, the prices are going up. Should I sell? Should I buy? There's nothing to buy. And we're going to hope that you, you know, you straighten us all out. Give us a little overview. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and the approach you take to real estate, and then we'll get into what you're hearing.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously, we did the introduction. My name is Sadiq Bukhari. I've been licensed since I was 19 years old. I am 30 now. I've always been under the Coldwell Banker Reliable umbrella. I'd like to add that, our company recently merged with Coldwell Banker Hulse out in Long Island in the Hamptons, which is now under the Reliable name. The way I approach my business, I'm providing a service, and sales is a service-based business. You have to put the customer first. You have to put your client first, and that's what I feel like, in my personal opinion, distinguishes me from other salespeople, I guess. And then the other part of it is it's the numbers. You have to know your numbers. You have to know your neighborhood. You have to know your market. Speaking to a seller or speaking to a buyer, we always have to educate them on what things are going for in their neighborhood. I always approach it as a price per square foot basis, because that's what the banks use when it comes to appraisal, and the numbers don't lie. We look at sales of the neighborhood, and we compare it to whatever's coming up on the market, and that's how we get the most accurate home price. So that is my approach. It has worked for me since I've started. Obviously, the beginning of my career is more of a learning curve, and over time I was able to not perfect it, but get better and better at it.
Yeah, practice makes perfect. So you mentioned a little about, pricing houses. So I'm sure you've come in touch with some sellers who say, no, my house must be worth more than that. Look at all the nice things I've done to it. Or, my neighbor sold their house for such and such, so mine should be 5 or 10% more than theirs. How do you deal with people that have maybe unreal, that don't appreciate that the market really sets the price, not you, not the seller? It's what a buyer is willing to pay at a particular time. But how do you deal with a seller who says, no, my house listed higher, or it must be worth more than what you're telling me?
Yeah, I get that a lot. Especially in the South Brooklyn area, we have a lot of beautiful colonial houses and some Victorian houses. And there's a lot of homeowners that renovate them in a very personal way. They put a lot of money into it, and it's beautiful, but it might be very unique to them. And because of that, they think it's worth a little more than what their neighbor's house is selling for. I basically, I'm very straightforward. I tell them, look, it's a beautiful house, but that doesn't mean every buyer that's going to look at this house is going to think the same way. They might want to renovate their own way. They might want to change things a certain way. If you look at other houses, that are same square footage, same style of house on the outside, same lot size, same, very similar attributes, with exception to the renovation that the owner did, I tell them very straightforward that this is the real value. And a lot of times they don't like that, and a lot of times they decide to go another route and then list it for whatever price they want to list it at. And most of the time, it doesn't sell. Or you end up looking at it, you know, I end up looking a couple of months down the line and they did a reduction to the price that I had mentioned over to them. And sometimes it does expire and I do reach out again and then we relist it and it eventually sells. So a lot of these sellers need some kind of a wake-up call, I guess, to realize that, yes, it's a beautiful house, but it's not always worth to others what you think it's worth. The market is what decides what your property is worth. The buyer decides what the property is worth.
And when you represent a buyer who's looking at a house that's badly priced and been on the market for a while, what is the psychology of that buyer? Do they feel like they're buying a stale loaf of bread or something? You know, if the house has been sitting on the market for a while or there's something wrong with the house? Talk about that for a moment.
A lot of buyers get scared when they see a house that's been on the market for too long. You know, the first thing, when I do send over a list of homes for a buyer, you know, before I go out to buy, I got to send them a list of different properties that I think is within their criteria or within their interest. Whenever they do see that it's been on the market for, I don't know, over 100 days, for example, that's the first thing they bring up. Why has it been on the market for so long? And it's going to be a different answer for each property. Sometimes deals fall apart. Sometimes, the buyer, seller gets an offer and they're about to go into contract and something happens. Even during a contract, maybe they had some contingency that wasn't met and the deal just falls apart. So I always say to the buyer, don't always look at how many days it's been on the market. I always suggest that we see it in person because sometimes you might see something there that just, you know, does it for you and you fall in love with the place. That's the approach I take with them. I always love to present it in person and, obviously reach out to the seller's agent to get some idea of what was going on and what happened. And I always rely that to the buyer. That way there's full transparency and they know what they need to do.
Yeah, that is a good approach to tell the buyer there are multiple reasons it's been on the market, but keep an open mind. You know, if it floats your boat, then then it's great. And luckily, it's been on the market for this person to come along and
You never know. You never know which house is the house for you until you see it in person. And I always say that. You know, sometimes you deal with buyers that say, you know, I don't want to do any work. I don't want to do any renovation. I want a house that's ready to move in. And I always add a house that still needs work. I always add a house that's not perfect. Because sometimes they come in and find a certain charm that they weren't expecting to find, and they say, hey, you know what, I'm willing to do a little bit of work because this is actually the house that I want.
Yeah, right. They'll find something that they can live with and correct and improve upon. And yeah, good. Well, why don't we turn a little bit about the news of the day, and of course the news of the day is interest rates that have kind of jumped a little since maybe even a month ago. How are your buyers reacting to these kind of jumps?
The interest rate, I mean, it's slowly and slowly approaching that 6% mark. And then when you look back to, you know, September of last year, which is, you know, only a couple of months ago, it was at around 2.8. And that's when, you know, the market was crazy. Things were selling left and right over ask. And, that, you know, mostly in specific areas in New York, like Staten Island, for example, houses were going for 10-15%, sometimes, not 10-15%, sorry, 10-20,000 above asking, depending on what kind of house it is. But I've noticed even with the rate increase and what it is today, there's still a strong buyer presence. There's still people with a little bit of extra cash that are still willing to purchase a house. And the rate of negotiation, if the house is priced properly, it's still very low. You know, the sellers, there's still not enough inventory. at least here. And the sellers are not budging, and the buyers want the house, and they're just offering whatever, even with the increased rate.
And you do hear a lot of that. The house comes on the market, it's immediately scooped up. It's only a few days, and it's usually asking price or more. How about the seller? Before we move on, you mentioned inventory. So every time I speak to, you know, my friends like you or other brokers about, you know, what's going on in the market, they always say inventory to me. And what?
There's never enough inventory.
What do you mean? We're on a block with like 100 houses. There's 100 houses here. There's 100 houses there. There's 100. You get down to Shore Road, you got co-ops crazy. What do they mean by inventory? And why is there not enough of it?
And you know, when you compare it to the years prior to the pandemic, there's a lot less homes for sale. It's about, I don't know, I think about 5% to 10% less than what it was prior to the pandemic. And that goes also with the rental market in Brooklyn, which is 80% less inventory compared to the pre-pandemic days, which is a huge number. There's a lot of buyers. There's just a lot more buyers than there are sellers. Everybody's looking to scoop something up. And over the last couple of months when the rates were still, you know, low, a lot of the quote-unquote good houses were sold, and now it's like whatever is left over, people are trying to run around and find the right one. Obviously, spring is coming up, and we will see more houses come up on the market, and I'm curious to see if there is a lot more sellers willing to sell, given what the interest rate is now. You know, I am talking to a couple of sellers in Staten Island that are a little scared to put their houses up on the market, given that they think the buyers are going to be scared to make offers and they're not going to offer what they want. And I always make it clear to them, there's still not enough homes for sale compared to the amount of buyers there are. So that's when the inventory thing comes. It's just there's too much buyers compared to the amount of houses for sale.
Yeah, that's interesting what you say about sellers being afraid to put their house up and not getting many bites. But, that's an interesting thought that the sellers just may say, wow, I thought it was a hot market and now I'm not getting any offers, or I'm getting substantially lower than my listing price.
I just spoke with a seller today that wants to list their, you know, they have a beautiful two-family house in Staten Island that's currently being used as a one-family. And, you know, they're, like a lot of New Yorkers, he's looking to move to Florida. He called me saying, oh, I wish I listed it before. I wish I listed it back in December when the rates were low. And I had to reassure him. I still have people every day calling me looking for houses in Staten Island, even if the rate is what it is today. You have to give them that support. Have to give them support to them. Listen, there is buyers for your house. There are buyers for your house, and there's no way for you to find out if it's going to sell or not unless we list it. Unless I show you, basically. And there are some people like that. They have that regret that I wish I did this before, but there's still a lot of people looking to buy.
Yeah, and let's talk about that for a second. A lot of people looking to buy. Where did these people come from? All we've heard the last 2 years, and you mentioned it, people are going to Florida, people are leaving. Are these people who moved to the Catskills to escape COVID and then realized that it snowed last week up in the Catskills and maybe that's not the ideal place to be? And if they
realize
want to choose
that after,
between...
after 10 o'clock, all you hear is owls and some
bats. And, you know, there's only one type of cuisine, old-fashioned Italian in the Catskills, and they want the 20 different cuisines that are offered on 3rd Avenue and 5th Avenue. And are these the people, or are people coming back from would want to be back in an urban setting?
So it's not more of the people that, you know, bought outside of New York, like the Catskills or the Hudson Valley. Those people that bought out there kept their property in New York, a lot of them did at least, and then they purchased a second property in the Catskills or the Hudson Valley as kind of a getaway. Now they have that property, and most of them kept the property. I talked to my friends that are realtors in those areas. You know, the market over there definitely slowed down, but whoever bought out there is now using it as either a summer home or a little getaway. I've noticed that people that are buying, at least in Bay Ridge, at least in Staten Island, are a lot of people moving from areas like downtown Brooklyn, from Park Slope, from Cobble Hill. They realize that there are areas like, again, Bay Ridge, Staten Island, where they can get a lot more for their buck compared to what they have in Park Slope. You can't get a detached one-family house in Park Slope for $1.6 million or $1.7 million. It's going to be significantly
right.
more. And I've been seeing that trend of people saying, hey, if I'm working from home, I don't need to commute as much. Why don't I move a little further out from the city? Let's take a look at Bay Ridge. You know, these beautiful colonial homes. You have these beautiful brownstones and limestones, like on Doctors Row, on Bay Ridge Avenue, and Selma 86th Street, and on Ovington, on Senator. And they're buying them for, compared to what they can get in Park Slope, at a discount. So it's been a lot of that. And then same goes to people in Bay Ridge moving to Staten Island. You know, at a certain point in the beginning of the pandemic, co-op sales were very slow, especially the one and the two bedroom. You know, one bedrooms were going for between $340 and $360. You can buy a nice two bedroom condo with parking in the middle of Staten Island by the mall for that price. So you had some of these people that are in that price range of spending, you know, anywhere between $300,000 to $400,000 moving out to Staten Island. And then the others that live currently or live in a attached two-family house with no parking, that are looking at Staten Island, for example, and purchasing a detached two-family for less than what they would have paid in Brooklyn or Bay Ridge.
Yeah. It's interesting the comment you made about the Park Slopers and the Cobble Hills, and you know, they can sell their 2 million condo and get a whole house out
yeah,
in Bay Ridge.
Yeah.
I don't know what is, but you know, there is something they, a certain mentality. People love to be in like a congested area, and you know, I went to a law school in downtown Brooklyn, and it was pretty much a dump, a scary place, a dangerous place, a dirty place.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
40 years later, I can't even tilt my head back to see the top of the buildings that they are building down there. I mean, 100-story buildings, luxury buildings, and
yeah,
and you're still
yeah.
on Fulton Street.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what the allure is to come down and, you know, in Bay Ridge, you come out of your house, there are trees, there are grass. You know,
yeah,
you
hear
birds.
You don't hear construction.
Yeah, you don't hear construction. But I think slowly that, you know, as the, maybe as the, those people have families or the families grow, they say, look, we can't be squished
yeah.
into this
yes,
condo.
That's
we need
exactly
a,
what it is. Yeah, I mean, driving on the BQE, going towards the city, you can't tell the Brooklyn skyline from the Manhattan skyline anymore. It just all looks like high rises.
It's incredible that we have that whole skyline, and it's Brooklyn skyline.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, with the families, I've noticed a trend with also renters. So in Park Slope, in Cobble Hill, and, you know, anywhere in downtown Brooklyn, sometimes one bedrooms are going for $4,000, and it's in a building. Yeah, it has some amenities, but you're still living in a one-bedroom paying $4,000 a month. There have been some homeowners in Brooklyn that are renting out their smaller colonial homes or these smaller attached houses on Shore Road by the Varian, for example, where I brought some tenants in from downtown Brooklyn. They were paying $4,000 or $5,000. Now they're paying $5,500 in Bay Ridge for a duplex or a smaller house with garage with a backyard, which they would never get over there for that price. So the rental market for a luxury or more space or bigger space, it's hot in Bay Ridge. As long as you have that available, it will go fast.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but right, you could rent a house in the 5,000 range where you might just get a one bed or two bedroom apartment, you know, in downtown Brooklyn that same range.
Yeah.
End up with a whole house for just a touch more.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sadiq, we're moving towards the end of this show. Why don't you give us your prediction for the rest of the year? What are we looking at here? And what if someone wants to give a little advice to the potential buyer who might want to jump in, and the seller who might want to, you know, cash out and head down to Florida, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, to the buyer, yes, the rates are higher than they were, but they're only going to, you know, go up higher, and that's what the Federal Reserve said, that there's going to be a few increases throughout the year. I still tell them there is still opportunity to purchase a house, and there is time for you to purchase it before it increases even more. For the seller, there are a lot of buyers that are still out there, some buyers with more cash than others that are willing to put a higher down payment to offset their monthly payments and purchase something. So it's still a good time to sell. It's still a great time to list your house and get the price that you deserve.
And hopefully use your services. But where are they going to find you, Sadiq, before we sign off? Where are our listeners going to find you?
I'm at Coldwell Banker Reliable. We're located at 7428 Fifth Avenue. Like I said, can I say my number?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I can be reached at 347-481-3682. And it's Sadiq.Bukhari@cbrnyc.com. Again, service is my number one priority to everybody that I work with. And I'd love to work with anybody, whether you're looking to buy, sell, or rent in any part of New York City.
Well, perfect. Sadiq, this has been a great half hour with you. We'll see how your forecasts pan out. Maybe we'll have you on the show in a couple more months and pick your brain as to how the market has changed, if at all. And we do appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Bob. I'd like to add, I just came home today with my second newborn son.
Oh, excellent.
I literally just got home about 2 hours ago from the hospital.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have my beautiful children, Adam and Noah, and my beautiful wife, Tima, and you know, everything I do for them. I just wanted to add that.
No, it's good. It's good that you mentioned that. No, that's a good thing about you. And God bless. God bless.
Thank you very much, Bob.
And take a nap now, because it'll probably be the last nap you have in a couple of years.
I'm exhausted.
Very good, Sadiq. Thank you. We'll have you on soon again.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And thanks to our guest, Sadiq Bukhari, a real estate broker in the Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn who works for Coldwell Banker Reliable, for sharing his insights with us. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings. song that she sings for the town.